Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Saint Odilia.
Wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh. Those are the words of the ancient prophet. But did he not also say, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof? I beseech thee, O Almighty God, give me a sign that I have put a good end to a thing which had indeed the sorriest of beginnings. It was during the reign of Childeric II that I, a Dalric, Frankish lord of Alsace, took Bereswinde as my wife and made her the mistress of my castle, Obernheim, high up in the Vosges Mountains. And within the year...
You have a daughter, Dalric. Why have you not come to see her?
Her daughter?
See how sweetly she sleeps.
But behold her.
Be careful.
I won't hurt her.
You might... waken her.
She should waken to greet her father. Ah, she's stirring.
Give her back to me.
She's quiet, little thing. She'll make a good wife one day for some great... Miss Winnie.
Give her back to me.
She doesn't look at me.
She's scarcely a week old, Dowry.
No, that's not it. There's a film, some sort of film over her eyes.
Let me have my child.
This child is blind.
She's newborn. You can't tell as yet. You can't be sure.
She's blind. You've given me a child that's blind.
She's little. She's young. It will pass. Oh, give her to me.
A girl and blind? What good is a blind daughter?
It will pass. It will pass. Oh, Adara, give her to me. It will pass.
But it did not pass. And when the child was 6 months old, I want the child killed. See to it, Bereswinde.
Dalric, do not ask me to kill my firstborn.
Such misfortune has never befallen my family. More than misfortune, dishonor. Do away with her. It will be as though she had never been born.
She's my child, your child.
Not mine. I will not let it be said that she's mine. She's an insult to my honor as long as she lives.
Then she's God's child. God willed that she should be born.
Born blind?
Yes. Born blind so that his power should show in the helplessness of a poor blind baby. If you will not claim her as your own, leave her to God. Let him provide for her. But at the very least, let her live.
Will you send her away where I will never have to look at her?
Oh, Dalric.
Will you swear to tell no one who she is, who her parents are?
You cannot ask.
I do not ask you. I demand it of you. In return, I give you her life.
There is a woman who might take her.
Good. Give her the child.
A peasant woman who once served me.
She must take the child far away from here.
Perhaps to Baume-les-Dames, There is a convent there.
I will never look upon the child again. I never wish to hear her name.
She has no name as yet. Surely, Adalric, you will let her be baptized.
No! She must be sent away today, this morning, this minute, or I'll have her slain.
We had another child. Our son, Hugh, was born the following year. The blind infant was sent to Beaumley Down. There the nuns raised her, and I contented myself with the thought that I should never have to concern myself with this abomination that had been thrust upon me. 12 years passed when one day I had a distinguished visitor at Oppenheim, Erhard, Bishop of Regensburg. You're most welcome at Oppenheim, Excellency. I trust the trip up the mountain was not too difficult.
I must confess your beautiful castle is not easy to reach.
Perhaps you would like to rest, my Lord Bishop.
I think not. The story I have to tell you will not wait upon my comfort.
What can the Bishop of Regensburg have to tell me?
A strange story indeed, Adalric. But one you will be most happy to hear.
Sit down, Excellency.
Thank you. It all started with a vision. A vision sent me by God. In the vision, God bade me leave Regensburg and go at once to the little town of Baum.
Baum?
Beaumley Down.
I have heard of it.
In Baum, the vision said I should find a young girl, born blind. The vision told me that I should baptize this young girl.
You found the child?
I found the child. Reared by nuns, blind from birth. I baptized her as the vision had instructed me.
What name did you give her?
Odelia, as the vision had told me to.
Odelia.
But now I must tell you the most marvelous portion of my story. One you will scarcely believe. The vision had told me that at the moment of baptism, Odelia would gain her sight.
My Lord, what are you saying?
I anointed her eyes. I beseeched Almighty God to let every satanic energy depart from her. And when I looked at her again, tears were streaming from those bright eyes. And they could see.
A girl could see?
Yes, Adalric. Your daughter could see.
I thanked the Most Reverend Bishop, of course. What else could I do? I even feigned great joy that my daughter's sight had been restored. My daughter. The word stuck in my throat. I had refused to claim her at birth, and I refused to claim her now. What possible explanation could I give for those 12 years during which I had been as blind to her existence as she had been blind to the world around her? No, for all anyone knew or cared, I had had no child during the first year of my marriage to Beresmyndir, and my eldest should remain my son, Hugh. He was a great joy to me. He grew straight and tall, perfect in every way. I was very proud of my son. And by the time he was 15, he and I hunted together every day, pursuing the boar, the stag, all manner of wild game through the forests of Oppenheim. One day, as we rested on a high hill, my son said to me,
"Father, I must talk to you."
"Yes? What is it, my son?"
"Perhaps I should have spoken to Mother first."
"You're too old now, don't you think, to be running to your mother? Those days are past." "Well, I'm listening."
"I received a letter yesterday."
"A letter? You had a letter? Who would write to you?"
"My sister."
"What did you say?"
"My sister. My sister, Odelia."
"What did Odelia have to say to you?"
"She is not happy. She begs my help. Father, why have you never told me about Odelia?"
"Because it was none of your concern."
"My own sister, none of my concern?"
"She was born before your time."
"Born blind?"
"Yes, born blind. A blind girl child was your mother's first gift to me. We sent her away."
"Father, Odelia is no longer blind."
"I know."
"You know?" Well, then why have you not sent for her?
She is well off where she is.
No, Father, she is not.
The nuns are raising her.
Father, read her letter.
No, I will not. I have nothing to do with her.
The nuns were kind to her for 12 years. Kind enough, she says. Though what sort of kindness it could have been, I don't know, since they never troubled to have her baptized. Do you know, Father, that the Bishop of Regensburg baptized her when she was 12 years old?
I know the whole story. I don't want to hear it all again.
Well, since that time, Father, things have been different.
Nothing has been different.
For Odelia, I mean. Some of the nuns have been jealous of her.
I don't believe that. Why should they be jealous?
It seems that she has done well in her studies, for one thing. She's very intelligent, Father. It's quite apparent from the way she writes. I wish you would read her letter.
Do not press me too hard, Hugh. It is only because of my great love for you that I permit you to speak of this girl,
this sister, this daughter, this Odelia.
Do not press me too hard. That is all.
Father, this past year the nuns have been indulging in petty persecutions.
The ways of nunnery are not supposed to be easy.
But it has grown worse, Father, with each passing year. Because of the miracles.
What miracles?
A whole bed of nettles turned to roses as she reached out her hand to them. That was one.
How do you know this?
She wrote me. And one of the sisters added in her own hand that she herself had seen it. And that she had seen a holy light surround Odelia as she knelt in the fields. And that the light followed her all the way back to the convent and stayed with her till Vespers.
This is all very interesting, but it does not concern us.
Father, she asks me to help her.
How can you help her?
She does not say. She asks only that I do whatever my heart suggests.
And what does your heart suggest?
That we should send for her. Bring her home.
What?
To live with us at Oberheim.
Do you know what you're saying?
It's where she belongs, Father.
That's enough. Not another word from you.
I thought that...
It makes no difference what you thought. The girl stays where she is. I'll not have people prying and spying at Oberheim. Asking who she is and where she's been. She's well off where she is.
No, Father, I've told you.
Listen to you tell me how I should dispose of my children. She was a blight upon my life when she came into this world, and a blight she has continued to be. She has her life. I gave her that. I let her keep it. That's all she'll ever get from me.
Father,
silence! I'm not responsible for what I may do if you dare mention her name to me again. You understand me? Do you?
Yes, Father, I understand.
I thought I had at last put an end to the matter. The days passed peaceably at Oberheim, and each morning Hugh and I rode into the mountains to hunt. One brilliant day at the noon hour, we were resting in a clearing high up on the side of a cliff.
It was a good hunt this morning.
Your aim grows a little better each day.
I'll never be the man with a spear that you are, Father.
Oh, in time. You still don't hold it properly.
I know, I'm awkward.
Here, let me show you. Come here. See? Look. It's the balance. You hold it like this.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see. I think I do.
Yeah, we'll try again after we... What's that down there?
Where, Father?
Below us. What's that?
They could be pilgrims.
Pilgrims? Why would pilgrims be coming to Oberheim?
I don't know.
Pilgrims have never come here. It's not on the route to any shrine.
Perhaps they've lost their way.
From that road, they can't even see the castle. Someone who's been directed.
A lot of people on foot, too.
They're showing the way. Can you see who's in the wagon?
I don't need to see, Father.
What did you say?
I don't need to see who's in the wagon. I know.
You know?
Yes. Odelia.
Your sister?
I sent for her, Father.
You sent for her? After all I said
to
you?
She's come home.
You dared! You dared disobey me, you, my son, you dared!
It was over before I knew what I was doing. I had killed him with one blow. The spear still trembled in my hand. My son, my beloved son, lay dead at my feet.
As though in a dream, I walked down the mountainside, my eyes fixed on the wagon, driven by a young girl I saw as I neared her, with eyes as blue and unclouded as the skies above Oppenheim. Odelia.
Am I on the right road to the castle of Adalric?
Yes. It's up there.
Thank you. I am...
I know who you are. You were my daughter.
You? You are Adalric?
Yes. Welcome to Oppenheim, Odelia.
Thank you, Father.
If you keep to this road, straight on up, you'll come to the castle. Tell them I said to make you comfortable.
Thank you.
I shall join you there when I have buried my son. The days that followed were a torment. The horror of my crime took away my strength of body, of mind, of will, of purpose. I could not endure the presence of my lords or my vassals, my wife. Only Odelia, my eldest, my new daughter. Yes, new, twice new, twice born. Many times dear to me as once she had been despised. Her tenderness brought me to tears. Her ministrations appalled me by the magnitude of their generosity.
How do you feel this morning, Father?
Oh, better now that I see you.
What can I do for you?
Be with me, that is all.
I am with you.
Not enough. I need you with me all the time.
There is one who's with you all the time.
The Lord God.
Yes.
I feel his presence in you. When you are not with me, he deserts me. When you enter a room, he comes with you.
No. He is with you always.
If I could believe that.
You will believe it one day. That is why I was born as I was, blind. That is why God gave me back my sight. That is why he led me here.
That is why I killed my son. Would you say that?
Perhaps. Perhaps even that came to pass so that you might believe. Father, may I speak with you?
Of course, Adelia, always, at any time. Of anything under the sun, surely you know that.
Would you permit me to use part of the castle for a special purpose?
Anything. Do with Oppenheim as you wish.
No, not all of it. But if I could use several rooms. There are friends of mine. Some I knew at Baume-les-Dames, a few I met on the journey home. All women who desire the religious life away from the world. If I could give them a place to live.
Of course, my dear. Do whatever you wish. The women were installed at Oppenheim, and Odelia was their directress. Some of God's peace and tranquility infused the place, and I think a little of it crept into my soul. I watched with growing satisfaction my beautiful daughter who moved with such grace and composure among her companions. My pride in Odelia's loveliness grew each day, not alone her great beauty, but the generosity of her spirit. Visitors were few at Oppenheim, but one day, soon after Odelia's 17th birthday, a German duke from across the border arrived to ask leave to hunt our forests. I gave him permission gladly and was so struck with his demeanor and intelligence and I begged him to spend several weeks with us while I personally showed him the intricacies of our mountain terrain. When the Duke at last departed, he had asked for the hand of Odelia in marriage.
Marriage? To the Duke? But Odelia...
It's everything we could wish for, Bereswind, dear. I never thought to have such good fortune.
But Odelia, what of her?
She will be delighted, of course. When will she ever again have such an opportunity? She will be delighted.
I'm not sure that
Of course she will. I'll go tell her now.
Treat her gently, Adalric, if she does not consent at once.
Of course she will consent.
Treat her gently, Adalric. Speak softly to your daughter.
It is not in the nature of any Frankish lord to speak gently to anyone. And my pride and ambition were so near to their supreme fulfillment, I could hardly contain my eagerness. Still, I did try. God be my witness, I did try. He wishes to marry you, or did he?
The Duke does me too much honor.
You are worthy of any man living, Odelia. Any man who wins you can count himself the most fortunate of mortals. But the Duke is a man of many virtues and vast estates.
Is it the Duke's estates that capture your fancy, Father?
Well, it's natural for me to think of the practical side of things.
Yes, it is natural.
But I would not press this marriage, no matter what holdings the Duke might have, if I did not think that he would be a good husband to you.
I know that, Father.
It is time you married. Your mother and I will not always be here to protect you.
I know.
Then you do see what a wise thing it would be, how it would ensure your happiness.
Do I seem so unhappy to you?
Not unhappy, no, but I'm anxious about your future.
Are you? I am not.
Then you should be.
My future is in God's hands.
So is the future of every one of us. That doesn't mean we shouldn't provide for ourselves and for those we love.
I know.
Then you will marry the Duke. He'll be back in a fortnight. I can tell him that all is decided, that you will marry him.
No, Father. I will not marry him. I will not marry any man. You may tell him that.
Odelia.
Years ago, I promised myself to God. I have never for a moment regretted that promise. I wish to be a bride of Christ, to live for him, work for him, suffer for him. That will be my life.
You don't know what you're saying.
I know very well what I am saying.
Odelia, I have been patient with you. I have tried to be gentle.
I know, Father.
But there is no longer any room for gentleness. You will marry the Duke.
No, Father, I will not.
You are my child. I am your father, and I demand that you marry the Duke.
No, Father.
I say that you will. I'll not listen to any more words on the subject. You will marry the Duke. I had not meant to speak to her so, but never had this gentle creature so defied me. I became enraged that she could be so implacable, so deaf to my words, so immune to my wishes, so certain of her own. Gentleness had availed me nothing, so it gave way to threats of force. And when at length I left her, I was sure that my will had prevailed. I went to bed with the certainty that my daughter would become the wife of the German Duke.
Adalric. Adalric, wake up.
Bereswinder.
Listen to me. Odelia has gone.
Gone? Gone where?
God knows where. She has left us.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure. I've looked everywhere. She's gone.
I could not wait for daylight. With only the guidance of the moon and stars, I set out to find my daughter. I knew the mountains well. She did not. Even so, it was not till the fifth day that I found her. The search had carried me to the foot of Mount Schlossberg. I saw her at the same moment she saw me, and without hesitation, she started to climb the mountain. I spurred my horse, determined to follow her. But she had only climbed a short way up the Schlossberg when I reined in my horse to stare in amazement. I saw the face of the cliff, open wide. A great opening appeared, where there had been nothing but solid rock.
And as though she had expected this refuge, Odilia entered inside. I spurred my horse to the spot where she had disappeared. But by the time I pulled up, the cliff looked as it had looked before it opened to receive my daughter.
Vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
It was my vanity which made me disown my daughter at birth. Vanity that led me to slay my son. Vanity that pricked me on to force my daughter's marriage. But God has been merciful.
Odilia, in her compassion, returned to me the next day. Obenheim, which held so much sorrow, belongs to her now. It is called Odilienburg, and joy is returning to its old stones as the sisters send their prayers to God and live their lives to praise him. Odilia is their abbess, but I see her often. She prays for me, does penances for me. Perhaps one day I shall see the face of God through the intercession of my beloved daughter, Odilia.